is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice. It's Levin. Thank you for joining me. Listen, I complain and I cry, I kick and I scream and I holler about how BEC wouldn't cut my light off. For 1 week, it was off. I live in a house where only half of the house was on. But all I know is I came here to Guardian Radio and I talked to the people. And yesterday when I got off here, the trucks was there. I told you yesterday when I came to the studio, that the trucks was through my corner. Well, I got home yesterday, and saints, you know something? I learned that if you trust the Lord, all things will work out for your good. I get home yesterday, and they got every light in the entire house on. What's happening? BEC got all of my light on, and I am so happy. When I got home and I saw the light on, I said to myself, I said, you know something, saints? Jesus will fix it, you know. Kermit, play that song for me, please.
Just that I was
Man, and I get home and the power was on and I say, you know something? Jesus will fix it. For me, I don't have to worry about how I can get water. I don't have to worry about if it could be hot, the TV on. I'm damn buying up nothing. Everything waking, the washing machine waking, the dryer waking. I started to feel like I was living in 1925 without no power, but Jesus fixed that for me. And so, between Jesus and BEC, I just want to tell you all, thank you very much this morning. Now, there is one other thing that I want to do. This is some housekeeping. If you've been following me, you know that I've been doing the Defense Force sequel because this is Law Enforcement Month. Today is actually the Defense Force's 41st anniversary. And so, because I have a bias in the Law Enforcement Month, I've invited my friends from the Royal Bahamas Defense Force to tell me about their time in service, about, you know, their coming to the gate, and what is life like outside the gate, after the gate, right? And so we're going to get to that. I do have one other thing that I want to get to. Right before that, though, I am becoming unable to not want to say curse words to the Tribune, right? You see, some of this stuff y'all writing here, I find as an affront to Negroes. The headline in yesterday's paper, COVIDiots. And then this morning's headline is please behave. And I just get the desire to say, y'all must be talking to y'all ma. Y'all can't be meaning me. All right? Because, no. And I'll tell you this, right? And I mean it in the Bahamian vernacular. You, sometimes when you are in media and journalism, that kind of stuff, you have to be very cautious not to denigrate, not to speak down to people, because you are the one with the ink and the paper. Like, COVIDiots, how? And they had 400 people, Coral Abbas, just Sunday past. COVIDiots, how? And the commissioner got tent and chair and things set up on top of East Hill Street as we speak. Talk about the commissioning chapel. So what is the difference when The lowly Negroes go to the beach. Some people, that is the only outing they could afford. They can't afford nothing else. Thank God Jesus put the water there free. They could go use that. But when the prime minister, the leader of the opposition, Ms. Cynthia Komolafe, when they put people into buses and bus them around in communities, those people aren't idiots. But because a bus with 15 people pulls up at a beach and lets 15 people, who quite possibly could have come out of the same yard, pulls up, somehow we feel like we should speak down to those people and blame them for causing the third wave, possibly. I want you all to stop that. I want you all to discontinue it. It sounds like self-loathing. It sounds like self-hatred. And the Tribune, Levin Miller, is calling you all out on it this morning. Don't play with me. Because if you all talk to me like that, then I am going to feel the need to talk to you all exactly the way I feel like. You all have no right to call people idiots. And children behave. All right? Don't play with us. That's what I want to say this morning. Anyway, now that I've gotten that out of the way, I'm not gonna have time to play that clip, Kermit. So let me get my guests in because they're here. It is March. March is Law Enforcement Month. March is the Defense Force Month. It is Defense Force Anniversary. And in keeping with what I've been doing every Wednesday and Friday in the month of March, I've brought, they call him the greatest spinner in the entire history of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, right? Him along with, I don't know who's the deputy. One of them is the deputy. Him along with his trusted sidekick, though. Marvin Brown is my guest this morning, and he's joined with Marco Roberts, both former Defense Force Marines and former shipmates, eh? Yeah, former shipmates. And we're here to talk about what life has been like going through the force, coming out of the force. Gentlemen, good morning.
Morning,
Mr. Miller.
Okay, good. So let's start with who is the more senior person?
Well, most definitely that's me, Miller. That shouldn't be the question.
Well, I will say this much. I never knew we would have taken the seniority beyond the gates. But let's go ahead
and give it to Marco. No problem. Yeah. So, Marco Roberts, you left petty officer. But when did you join? Tell us.
89. Jesus, my squad is killing me. May 8, 1989.
Yeah. All right. So you got in May 1989. What drove you towards the gate?
Well, at that time, more like, well, first of all, young Miller, I'm happy to be here. Mm-hmm. And as you introduced us, I'm very honored to be known as a friend of yours.
You want to take charge of this?
No.
Okay,
no.
Go ahead.
You said that you invited some friends here, so
thank you very much. These are my friends.
Now, in 89, you know, we're coming out of school, like a lot of young bucks, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I was drove. I had a friend of mine who fathered the Commodore Leon Smith's secretary at the time.
Okay.
I had a little job to education, and that was his father, and he encouraged me to get on the Defense Force.
Okay.
And so that's how I got it. LFR and Bailey.
R.M. Bailey.
Yes.
Yeah, was it Highbury High then?
No, it wasn't Highbury High. Okay. The name had already changed.
Okay.
The basis.
Okay, good. And what about you, Marvin? What was your journey towards the gate like?
Well, towards the gate, when I left school in 88, mm-hmm. I started in the construction field.
Okay.
I have a lot of history in the Pinewood area.
Okay.
During that time, Pinewood was on the rise.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lake yet.
Well, it was already a lake, and we were trying to work it out for homes and to make them. Yes.
Okay.
And 2 years later, because I joined in 1990 mm-hmm. of January,
mm-hmm.
I joined in 90, and what really happened was when I followed
mm-hmm.
the women and men at the time would have been in the armed forces, I was moved and thrilled by what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just took part of, you know, took part in it. I put my form in. There I was. They called me.
And you went in.
And I went in.
And what's the date?
That was 1990, January 8th.
January 8th, 1990. And Marco, you went and you said May 8th. 1989.
Yeah.
So y'all are just an entry apart.
No. Anybody who come after me, I don't remember. I don't know when they joined me.
But you could call it an entry apart.
How about an entry apart?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got in the gate, you're there your first day of training. Many people recall the first day of training quite similarly. What was day one like for you, Marco?
Well, for me, day one, like everybody else, but what I really felt was the first weekend.
Okay.
When I was locked down.
Right.
I was locked down like a prisoner.
Right.
And normally as a young dude, I used to be in confetti is out on the wharf out there.
Okay. So no more confetti.
And then we hit the tracks on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so when all that was taken away from me, I realized that this operation is real. All
right. And you, Marvin?
Well, day one was a horror.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got in. In fact, they let us off before we reached the gate.
Mm-hmm.
We ran in there with one of our bags, the smaller bags, I guess we took,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of the bus took.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran in there, and we were being beast and wake out from the gate,
right
up to the training center.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say this. There were times, and especially that with that first week,
mm-hmm.
when I would look from the balcony
mm-hmm.
to the horizon
mm-hmm.
as the sunset, and my ego,
mm-hmm.
only my ego keep me from saying, "Mommy,"
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I wanted to call for my mommy,
yeah, yeah.
But boy, I know I couldn't live that down,
yeah,
and definitely couldn't go back in the Fox Hill community
with
to
that.
Say I quit.
No, they would have to get you back in the box.
Fox Hill people would have killed me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in training, you get out of training. Where does your career take you to from there, Marvin?
Well, after new entry training,
mm-hmm.
I was attached to the squadron mm-hmm. department. And in fact, I spent some 20 years
mm-hmm.
in squadron alone.
It is alleged that you sailed on everything except for the
H&D. Everything.
And they tell me the only reason you ain't sailed on the Flamingo is because they sink it before you reach.
Yeah, that's the reason. That's one of the reasons I haven't sailed on the Flamingo. But
correct.
I've sailed on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Except the HMBS Flamingo.
Okay.
I've spent some 13 years alone on HMBS Yellowella.
Mm-hmm. And there was a time she was the pride of the fleet.
Until they sing that.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
She was the pride.
Mm-hmm.
I could give a count for more than 60%
mm-hmm.
of the seamen that was that came through
mm-hmm.
that system of the Yellowella
yeah.
being trained.
Mm-hmm.
And now serving the force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Good man. I talk about, you got fellas like Brad Curry,
mm-hmm.
Stephen Rowe. I talk about great seaman.
Good seaman, yeah.
Maya. Jamal Hebbein, Omar Maya.
Yeah.
They great seaman.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something? They would never miss a patrol if they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
If they'll come off vacation and sail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're great men. And so, I've done it all in terms of sailing. I've sailed on everything there.
Every single thing.
Every single thing.
And if they did get a Flamingo a couple more years,
yeah,
you would have been on that
too. I would have been on that too.
What about you, Waco? Where did you get out of new entry training. Where did your career take you?
Well, I did a lot of my time straight out of entry into the, what we call it, what is the commissary now.
Okay.
It was the canteen then.
Right.
A little small cubbyhole in the Southgate
mm-hmm.
area. And we ended up moving. We got a little bigger. We went where the junior rig track room is.
Right.
And we went upstairs. And then Commander Bo turned it into a full-fledged
right.
commissary.
Exchange.
But I spent, I spent most of my time, my first 10, 11 years there.
Okay.
Then I went in administration. Now, how I got on the boat joining Marvin was just that they needed somebody or admin to
okay.
go. And
okay.
so I was chosen. And so at that time, McNeil, Commander McNeil had a team that he kept in the tower,
mm-hmm.
more or less like a reserve team, mm-hmm. or who couldn't make the sea, we'll be that person. Plus,
mm-hmm.
he's watching the harbor.
Okay.
So after making a couple of trips on Inagua and Yellowella, I said, boy, this don't make no sense. I better go ask for a job change, because at the end of the day, I could do this for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and nothing will be recorded.
Right.
And so I went to him, and he agreed. And I found myself joining Marvin Room around.
Yeah, when I met you, I think my very first interaction with you, Marco Roberts, was as the coxswain of Yellow and Love. That was during the time.
That was a big name. That's a.
We gotta get it right.
I think it came down to me because all the senior guys did leave. But go ahead, Marvin.
No, we gotta get it right. Okay. Now he would eventually fill the role of coxswain.
Coxswain,
right?
Hell yeah.
But coming on board
because it was Chad Farron in it first.
Yeah, it was. And there's many more before him. Now, bear in mind that I was on Yellow Yellow from 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I entered there like in 2008.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would have worked with some maybe 7 commanding officers.
Right, because when the time I'm talking about where I met Marco. Sean Thurston would have been EXO.
It was EXO,
and,
yes.
And I believe it would have been, was it
Martin Burr?
That was
Martin Burr.
Right, yeah. You're correct.
Right. Yeah. And then shortly after that, Sean left and Raheem came on as EXO.
No, a CEO. He was the CEO.
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 Yeah. And I remember the days of, and then Chad Farnan went over to the P-Boat, right?
Yeah.
Because we still affectionately called him the coxswain, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I remember Marco Roberts then became the...
I don't know why Marvin is trying to run from that.
No, but I will say this much, right? He worked his way well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Did he infiltrate the group? I often tell persons this,
mm-hmm.
that a good Marine will stare,
mm-hmm.
he will stare his way through an organization,
mm-hmm.
and he did exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He stared his career.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He came in there. He was humble at the
mm-hmm.
beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was brought in some classes. He was taught some things.
Okay.
And when he felt confident enough, he break out.
You give him the ship.
He break out. I didn't actually give it to him. How he got it
uh-huh.
really was we had some hurricane avoidings.
Right.
They was unable to reach me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't miss patrol. If right. I'm on vacation, no matter what.
The only way you miss a patrol is if you're in jail.
But and that's the only way. And you know I ain't going there.
Right.
Give me a second. Let me tell you
right,
what
but hold on. Let me finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was home,
mm-hmm.
they called me about 7 o'clock that morning and asked me, say, well, what happened? You going or you don't go? And I said, going where?
Mm-hmm.
They say, we going to the hurricane avoidance. I say, nobody called me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the one calling me, you know.
Mm-hmm. He said the manual.
He might have said to call me that time.
Okay.
Rather than call me from that night.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said to me, he said, well, you know you have to be here for 7:30 because
mm-hmm.
we put on 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me around 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, hold on. I said, well, like, I can try to get there.
Mm-hmm.
When he called me back, it was like 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, I said, Marco, I trying to get myself together.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, anyhow, mister, see you when we get back. Because we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And they left.
Mm-hmm. And he became the
I stayed.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he had to do. And when he got back from the trip,
mm-hmm.
he was Big Marco then.
one patrol later.
One patrol.
Yes,
he was
indeed,
Big Marco.
Indeed. Because remember now, when I joined, and I tell you I spent a lot of time in the canteen,
mm-hmm.
One big Butch Koala
mm-hmm.
would have called us the Derby Marines,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so making that transition from there to sea, a lot of people thought, you know, I wouldn't hack it.
You would come in there to punish.
But what happened on that trip is that we were really scheduled to go around 8 o'clock or so. For some reason, Commander Manburg,
mm-hmm.
just pulled out early,
okay.
you know?
Right.
He said, whoever he have, he said, so we don't have enough crew. He said, whoever we have,
yeah, flash up.
Get their pants. Mm-hmm. They won boxes and be out here.
Right.
And so a lot of the crew like Marvin Brown, when time as they come, we was already gone.
Mm. All right. So you go from being the crew at Yellow Ella. You said you did 13 years of that.
Yeah, on Yellow Ella.
Yeah. And then how much time you did on board Yellow Ella?
Wow. I did about three or four years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When Commodore Oscar Wilder came in and he job changed me off of that, put me back in the commissary.
Right, so you go back to the commissary, and where do you go, Marvin?
From Yellow Yellow. Well, I try to figure if it was a setup, but I just feel as though they had done what they feel was best at the time. Because
mm-hmm.
what on, from Yellow Yellow, they had made, that's right on Rensko Wallah came into office.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some job changes. Lincoln Roll. That's...
Which one of them?
The one of them up, not the mechanic.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay? He was job changed to P-42.
Okay.
And they told him, within a week or so of his job change, they told him, he have to go to Inagua.
Okay.
Okay? Well, don't forget now, Skowala thing was decentralizing.
Yeah, operation, continuous,
right? And so it was a power move for Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
What they did, they said, okay, you know what? Seeing that he'd never been on a craft,
mm-hmm.
and he don't have the sea knowledge per se, but I know him to be an island boy from Exuma.
Right.
Okay? So they put me to work along with him.
Right.
They put me as his deputy and say they sure the boat would be in good hands.
Right.
But anyhow, we did that. Do you know we were the first ever to sail from Nassau, from Coral Harbor Base,
mm-hmm.
to Inagua.
Mm-hmm. On a Dauntless?
On a Dauntless. Okay. 500 gallons of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
40-foot vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
A 40-foot flat vessel.
40-foot.
Yeah.
Flat.
Yeah.
Right?
Flat, yeah.
And I don't know, like I say, I think it has more to do with empowerment.
I think they wanted to abuse you.
Right? Well, they couldn't. See, because the passion and the love I have for seamanship, mm-hmm. and the job itself, they couldn't abuse me.
Right.
Sometimes when I taught, even if a try come to mind,
mm-hmm.
I get it out of my mind.
That's a run.
Mm-hmm. That was like 22 hours for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I look at it, nobody, no craft before we did that. Wanted to take that chance. They always ask for Nassau or Bahamas or bigger craft to pull them down.
Mm-hmm.
We did that voyage on our own. And after we back and forth. Okay? And then everybody has followed suit.
So you sign everybody up for this abuse. If you didn't say no to waste time, then this wouldn't have been a regular thing.
Maybe, right? But my thing is, the boat has two engines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you look at how the place set up. How could you? The training you had, new entry training could take you there.
Correct.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't look at it as abuse. I look at it as empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, you see, even with when Skowala first came in,
mm-hmm.
he said after parade, right? He said for me, he said, have me come and see him. Now, you might remember this quite clear, Miller, because you would have been in that symposium.
Possibly.
And he said, when I went to his office, he said to me, you know me quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, I said, yes, sir. He said, well, anyhow, I'm having a symposium, and I want you to encourage all of your juniors
mm-hmm.
to get on board.
Okay.
I say, yes, sir. He said, you ready for that? I said, yes, sir. He said, 10 o'clock. But when I look at my watch, it was about 9:45. He said, 10:30, sorry. Okay. And it's about 9:45. So I had time to go and write a speech or
mm-hmm.
whatever, right? And I know public speaking is something I used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the mass of persons he would take me to front of to do these things,
right.
That's the first time I've done it.
Right.
But with confidence,
mm-hmm.
I done it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I would encourage the people. So I look at all that as empowerment.
Right. I remember you did the opening, what was it even called? I know Commodore Skowala would have these symposiums, and you could guarantee one Marvin Brown was the man in line to give the opening remarks for all of the symposiums for Commodore Skowala.
I did, but basically before.
I remember that. Okay, so how much time did you do, Marco?
On the dance floor, 27 and a half years.
27 years.
Yeah, but I must say this before we go on.
Sure.
Again, some calls from other crew members
mm-hmm.
saying, Vian, you won't mention any name, one Ian Graham and one Ronaldo Farquharson. Right? They are loyal boys, yes. You know, and they'll kill us if we don't, if I don't stick a plug in there for them. Okay. But go ahead,
Milo. So you did 27 years. You come off of Yellow Elder, head back into the canteen. I think I remember that show, I'd Stay in the Canteen. But you don't stay there very long. Where do you go to after that?
I went in intelligence. Mm. And so, again, that's where me and you really met, right. And we started to get close. And right. At that time, your sister passed away,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I must tell the audience, right, a funny story, you know, this Miller, he milked that sister. He would go to our boss and say, man, listen, I need to get my head clear. I need to go to Freeport. Now, that's 3 years afterwards. You know? And he'd say, oh, go anything you want, Miller, anything you want. Go on, go on. But I remember that, Miller, and you know, that was a holiday.
Yeah.
That was, yeah. Yeah. And so me and him got quite close after that, and ever since.
Where do you go to from Yellow Elder, Marvin? You go to the P-Boat, and then where? Because you and I ran.
I was about to say that. But, from the P-Boat, like I say, I went to something called Regional Command.
Right.
But in fact, I think I would have had a tour duty. Mm-hmm. On the fast patrol boats, okay, the EF. Mm. And when I joined them, mm-hmm. I worked with, along with, that was Q-Barrows.
Okay.
And Rashano Russell.
Okay, yeah.
He's a mechanic, mm-hmm. But boy, he's also a seaman, and a good seaman.
Yeah.
He was the one who really showed me everything I needed to know and make sure I was up to speed with driving the speedboat. Okay. See, because that's totally different.
Completely
different where I came from.
Yeah.
Okay? And I look at him at the time, okay? And when I line him up with just about every other seaman and the fellas on him, speedboat, mm-hmm. There's really no comparison.
Okay.
One of the hardest dudes ever. Mm-hmm. I still have that respect for him.
Okay?
But just touching back on what Marco said about the crew members. Now, I passed through so many, mm-hmm. so many of them I passed through.
Right.
Crew members. I wouldn't remember everybody's name, mm-hmm. right? But he made some specific as Ian Graham and Ronaldo Farquharson.
Right.
Ian Graham was one of our best cooks.
One of the best, yeah.
Okay? You could assure
that
you will get a hot meal no matter what type of weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Ian Grant gonna feed you pike tuna. You know, maybe Raymond. He's Ferguson or Farquharson.
Ferguson.
Okay,
yeah.
You're gonna get a hot meal, and you're gonna get good meal.
No matter what happened.
Get good meal.
Yeah.
Okay, and there was also
which is not the case with all.
No, it's not the case with all.
Yeah, because you got some fellas like you eating no meat for 7 days.
What made Graham them so lovable mm-hmm. on board Yellow Elder was that. They help out with other duties, seamanship and everything, and they with no fuss.
Which the cook doesn't have to do.
No, they don't have to.
The cook don't have to do any of that stuff.
Okay, and in the case of Ronaldo Farquharson, he's a very good technician.
Okay.
Okay? He and I were close together for a couple of years. Mm. But I must say that he had done something that I know he knew he would have tear me apart. Mm. Okay? On the sinking of Yellow Elder, Ronaldo Farquharson recorded it. Mm. And without warning me, he sent it to me.
And you cry.
If I cry like a baby.
Some memory.
Dad, listen to me.
Yeah.
You know, the only one person gonna tell me that my father didn't board the Yellow Elder for me. Okay? I honestly love that boat and Marco could tell you.
That was your daddy boat.
That's my daddy boat.
Okay, go on.
Okay, he gave it to me. Uh-huh. We would use our own fundings to make sure Yellow Elder is correct. Mm-hmm. If we have to. Okay? And the thing is we go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. You realize that if you go right now with 60% or even it may be higher, other persons on board will tell you they push their way. The week on Yellow Elder.
Yes. Yeah. Yellow Elder had a tight crew. The only other crew that was tighter than that would have been the P-Boat crew. Like,
Yeah.
Fellas will get married Saturday and go to see Sunday on the
yes,
B-boat.
Yes, yeah.
You couldn't you couldn't beg a space on the B-boat.
I remember they when Yalo Bello was running, when you say this Pride of the Fleet, they trick us, right? Because we had Yalo Bello, we had the two B-boat, Nassau,
mm-hmm. Nassau Bahamas,
and mm-hmm. we had Inagua. Mm-hmm. So they say, well, we'll be in rotation,
right?
So once we go to sea, we'll get a little break, and then the other three boats will go.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, a lot of three boats were not working. I see what time we went. We came from sea. We mm-hmm. cleaned the boat down. We get our pass. We went and thing. Before we go by the pink porch.
Mm-hmm.
We get one or two. Time as you reach home, you drop your bike, right? That diesel scent and everything. Well, you get a phone call, the boy back to base.
Yeah, yeah.
Said, but it ain't our time. Yeah. The boy, Nassau can't make it. Bahamas yeah, can't make it.
I remember that. I remember at one point they say Nassau had an engine problem and Bahamas had a steering problem. So you all can't take two of these boats and make it into one.
Yeah.
No, but I do remember Yalo Bello took quite a bit of the sailing.
Yeah,
definitely for my first maybe 4 or 5 years. It was.
And another reason I got tricked too, Melo, my first trip on Yalo Bello. Coming to Davao. Classy. Yeah. Boy, the calm, right? Boat just gliding through the water. I said, oh, yeah, man,
I can do this.
I can do 5 years of this easy. Boy, next time we going on there, and then a commander, who's the former Deputy Commodore Evans, he was the CEO then too.
Mm-hmm.
Man, and we always robbing him. He said, every time we come, we go in Inagua, we get non-salt. We go, yeah. Why we get a free board? He said, yeah, we get a free board this time. Once we hit the 1 mile, we tell Papa, 180.
Okay, so you go into intelligence, Marvin Brown. You go into the fast patrol.
I went to regional command.
Regional command, and then you worked with who in regional?
That was me and Raheem.
Okay,
right?
Oh yeah.
So regional command is a 2-man team.
It's a 2-man operation.
They was banished.
So. It was punishment in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. I told people, now captain, Michael Simmons.
Oh.
I tell them when I met now Captain Simmons, he was a lieutenant commander, and he was in charge of the phone room, or his office was down
oh,
by
yes.
the phone room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was him and crime. It was a 2-man team. They was in charge of the phone room, and he had the little red Nissan Sentra with the no back shocks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know Commander Simmons, he's about 6'5", right? And maybe 280-290 pounds. And I remember as a Marine Seaman, I would watch him in the phone room, and I said, the man office small, he car small. How they figure this out for this fella this size, right?
You forget they do the same thing to Scovalo before he became Commodore.
Yeah, yeah.
They move him, put him in a little building, in the front there.
Yeah, but he's a captain today. I saw him that, and I said, sir, they finally give you a car you can fit in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you go to regional command, you and Commander Raheem. What's happening over there?
Well, like I said, it was a 2-man team,
mm-hmm.
and we was actually responsible for all the outposts.
Okay.
That would have been Grand Bahama, Abaco, Inagua,
mm-hmm.
and Lansea Park.
Okay.
Okay? Responsible for the day-to-day running and operation of mm-hmm. those places. Well, we did a lot of traveling.
Okay?
Going to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it wasn't well planned out and taught by the command at the time.
Okay.
They just wanted somebody to throw a senior officer
mm-hmm.
and give him a helping hand.
Okay.
And that would have been me.
Okay.
And they did that. And then they realized, you know something? Something ain't right here.
Mm-hmm.
They traveling more than anything else. Because we would have traveled.
Right.
And so we would have been off just about the whole year.
Right.
Just going to all these places. And when we go, we stay for a while.
Right.
And so they seek the tweak and change that some.
Right.
Okay? And so they said to me,
because if it's a 2-man team, you can't get time off.
No, you can't even get time off. Right. But the thing is, when it's time for the budget period, me won. You can imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
And I do for all.
And when you say day to day running, you're talking about food supplies, manpower, craft supplies, building supplies.
Well, the manpower. Administration still was doing the manpower,
okay.
But so the supplies and everything else,
mm-hmm.
we were responsible.
Okay, how did you get out by Marker? Because that's where you and I ran into one another.
Okay, yeah, well,
at my time in the Attorney General's office.
Right.
Yeah. Let me say for the record, Marvin, who at the time, Alison Maynard Gibson was the Attorney General at the time.
Right.
And I tell people, one of the greatest one of the persons in government, in any government that I've ever had the opportunity to be military assistance to, one of the greatest government officials that understands protocol and security is Allison Maynard Gibson. That woman, she has it down to a science. You
correct.
She responds to instructions well. She understands what it means to move. And I remember most mornings, if you remember this, Marvin, if she came in and the elevator wasn't waiting, we would be taking the stairs.
Yes.
And she, her office was on the 7th floor. And that woman, I clock her over 40. She takes 7 flights of stairs and don't even breathe out once.
Well, don't forget, we tweaked some things to ensure that the elevator was available when she reached.
Correct.
Okay, so the driver had to be on point.
Right.
With when he...
So we took a big operation on them.
Yeah.
This is a big operation.
We changed some things. We wasn't well-liked, but we changed some things.
We get there, meet the security, them doing all kinds of foolishness.
That's not in shame. I see you all put the big tank out by the national security and prison officers being there.
Yeah, no, we sweep that up very quickly.
What I must say, though, how I got there was I was at the gate, okay, responsible for the security and the day-to-day
of HMBS Coral Harbor.
While I was there, you see, maybe they believe you're supposed to question certain things, but they know me. They know I'm moody, and they know I challenge it.
Correct.
And so I asked them, they had... the team they had with me, some could not carry weapon. I asked them, I said, well, how do you have these Marines attached to me and they cannot carry weapon? Their thing is, oh, you just do as you're told. That doesn't sit well with
negative
me.
Negative
on the line. Yeah, but they know that doesn't sit well with me. So I said to them, I said, listen, I cannot use this one, I can't use that one, I can't use that one. They tell me, oh, well, you have to use them.
Negative.
Right? So I said to them, I say, okay, you have to use them. I will. Now they had most of them was there for having NDs and stuff at their post.
Right.
But they had a particular guy there who they feel as though he shouldn't carry a weapon because they say his head wasn't right.
Right. I think I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Okay, this head is
they say good. He used to come and go.
Yeah. And however. And so I told him, I say, okay, I'm gonna fix that. Okay? Because I'm gonna use everybody. I need everybody, all hands on deck. In fact, I was short.
Right.
Okay? So, this morning I came and I had it well thought out, planned from home. I went in that morning. Doyle Burrows was working with me.
My squaddy.
That's your squaddy. I said to Doyle, I said, come here. I said, train this man up quick on how to use a baton.
Right.
And
crash baton lessons.
Yes, and Doyle take him out, give him the full belt. And when he was satisfied that the man is switch on,
right,
reducing the baton,
right,
I sent him the guy the CDF. Okay?
Yeah.
And so he went up there as told.
Armed with a baton.
With fully armed with a baton.
Okay.
When he reached the office, up in headquarters,
they asked him for his pistol.
Pistol?
Yeah.
They start hollering. They know what the man was all about. They start hollering. Now they're going to call back to the office there and complain to Dowell.
You send the crazy man.
How does man get... So they call me. They say, I try to be sarcastic. I try to be this. I said, but if you tell me use the man, I tell you, I don't need the man. Everybody within the department should be... should have a weapon.
Yeah. Y'all say he crazy. Y'all send him to me.
Yeah, and you send him to me.
Right.
See, because,
I send him right back to
y'all. But I'm saying to you, so I said to them, I said, listen, I cannot use him. And I showed him. So if you accept that, so why not accept him up there with...
Correct.
You understand?
Correct.
Yeah, and so
they say, let's get Marvin Brown out of here.
Yeah, so when
let's
I did...
Let's get him out of here.
When I went, they tell me...
yeah, you don't come back.
Yeah, but you know you on the road.
Okay, that's how you ended up by the AG.
Right.
Okay.
AG office.
Okay. So tell me about some people, because we run out of time. Tell me about some people that you consider people that either were transformative in your career or some people that, in your mind, you will never, ever forget as a result of the Royal Bombers Event Force. Marco?
Well, definitely a couple of my squaddies. You see Sean Tyson is texting me. One year we've been in Freeport dealing with the hurricanes. And we end up, that was supposed to be like a 2-month operation. We actually said that he ought to stay in there for a whole year.
Okay.
Right? It's just Ricky Miller, when I first joined. But I must say this to Miller.
Ricky,
this
Miller.
One who just wrote the book.
Okay, the glasses one.
Yeah, the shorter one.
Okay.
So, let it be known that when people address me, right, they address me as special agent.
Special agent. As a matter of fact.
And, okay, speaking, go ahead.
As a matter of fact, only one of, what is it, nine? There are only nine of us in the entire organization.
Yes, yes.
Yeah?
And I must say, because R.C. Smith just
texted senior special agent, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And so that was a good course that
Fort Leonard with Missouri.
Very well, indeed, indeed. Yeah. But as you go through your career, Miller, a lot of people will make an impression on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get so far, you do the same thing, you pass it on, and that was supposed to be how it's supposed to.
Who do you think were the persons? Do you have any one or maybe two people? Like for me, I tell people, regardless of what you think about him, I think Derek Richardson has been a mentor of mine. One thing I learned from Richie was, shell your subordinate, but make sure you protect him.
Yeah.
Make sure he knows that nobody else will shell him.
Except Richardson, you're talking about Killer Sands, mm-hmm. Kenneth Sands, definitely for Chief McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, McKinney was our coxswain one time, and you couldn't get past him, right? You have his diary.
Yeah.
Now, you come to him, you say, well, no, sir, I get 5 days off. McKinney say, no, on this thing time.
Was he better than Leroy Sanders, though?
Easy, man.
Leroy Sanders could keep up a day,
right?
Boy.
So he'd say, no, on this day, see you right here.
Yeah.
You got this day off, so now you only have 3 days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how McKinney was rolling, and he was there, but always, even when he left, he threw a nice party, one of the few places who threw a party for the junior rates.
Yeah.
For his farewell, you know, his farewell tour.
Phil Durham is also another mentor of mine. Phil Durham,
my cousin.
Yeah, Phil Durham is one of the fellas that kind of, he is responsible for my seamanship ability,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, he was always a guy that wasn't afraid to take the risk. So, you know, if you mash this up, well, we'll fix it. But let's see if we can get it done, because I need everybody on the ship to be able to do this. And so that was one of the things that I credit Philip Durham for.
Commander R. Him was like that too. Yeah. And he ended up getting, we had a short stint with him as the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say the same thing. What you think, Marvin? Or what you think, Roberts? You understand? You think we could do it like this? Or you think this could work?
Yeah, definitely. You had to have your brain on around Phil Durham. That was for sure. Mm-hmm. What about you, Marvin Brown? Some of the people that I guess are influential or that you...
Well, definitely me, myself, and then you could go... You know,
anybody other than Marco?
What I would say is this: I have a mile-long list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to call everyone's name,
sure,
but I must say that everybody who would have worked around me. See, I didn't. What I didn't do
mm-hmm.
was just do it for doing sake.
Okay.
I make sure that some good came of it, out of it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and you have fellas like Bernard Cash.
Okay?
Cash is a great mentor for the entire squadron.
Mm-hmm.
Timo Buckley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I must mention Clarence Knowledge too.
Yeah, no, Clarence Knowledge, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that's why I said, I am impressed with how Dr. King...
Mm-hmm.
is moving forward and trying to empower the Marines and officers.
Yeah.
Because now, don't forget, back in the day, they was not trusting
young people, persons,
no matter who's officer rating.
And
so they believe that there's the all in all.
Right.
Okay? Look at it today.
Yeah.
Look at the young fellas who have command.
Which is the way it should have been.
Yes.
I had Glenn Bain in here with me at the beginning of the month. And he said when he came back from Dartmouth, I think he was about 20, and mm-hmm. they gave him XO, and about a year later, he was CO.
Yeah,
and that's a 21-year-old boy. Yeah, he was in charge of Exuma, he said, and he used to be up and down on patrols.
See, but what you have to understand, Romilla, mm-hmm. is that back then, look at the mindset. Who would have been running the organization then?
The Brits.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so they go on with who they know. Capable, eligible, and a bright mind.
And they're not trying to keep you here for 25 years.
No,
right.
You understand?
Right.
And so, after getting the hands of the Negroes,
right.
then we start, what we do, we say, who is who, boy? Who is who?
Yeah.
And we keep the men down.
Yeah.
And guess what? Raymond King going to be proud of those men and women he promoted.
Yeah.
Even after, they talk about decentralization, people say, the promotion, this big promotion, you needed that.
You can need that, yeah.
You needed that. If you're going to decentralize, how could you still have...
You got to send them out with
one force chief, Miller.
And not even that. Also, when he
what gets... What you can
on,
do with them?
When he gets on an island, right? Let's just say he goes to a situation where he's on an island like Bimini. The officer in charge has a superintendent of police. Well, you can't send a leading hand. I need a chief.
Yeah.
I need him to be on par with the senior officer.
This is why, and this is how we find ourselves in many of problem situations,
mm-hmm.
because we want to micromanage these things ourselves. So everything, I must call you back. Excuse me, sir. No. You got to send the person on the ground to deal with the situation. Yeah. And so I feel the step that he made, that was long coming.
Yeah, that's a big time.
See, Skowala had it stepping in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But of course, like, they cut his head off quick.
Yeah.
Okay, they cut his head off quick.
Yeah, it was a domino effect. Now, because before Skowala came, they only tried to promote 5 and 10 people
like 6
at a time.
People at a time,
And so at a time, people said they're not going to do no cost because... But
it
they
didn't
look
make
at the
sense.
Years,
you couldn't
didn't
get
make
promoted.
No sense.
Yeah.
Now he came. Of course, you know, he have them pills in his drawer every morning.
The crazy pills?
The crazy pills. He take a couple of them. He write up on big promotion. He follow that up with another big one. And so now all the Commodores that came after mm-hmm. him.
Come closer to that mic for me.
All the mm-hmm. Commodores that came after him wanted to outdo him.
Okay.
So now it was only benefiting the men and the women.
Okay.
And now only one injustice all them did before King was that. Because back then, like Marvin said, we used to have like 3 entries a time,
right.
A year.
Mm-hmm.
So all them will be in bungle up. So if you're dealing with entry 24 in the beginning of the year, you have 25, 26, and then you have 27
right.
following. And a lot of those guys didn't get promoted.
Right.
They didn't do almost 30 years, 29 mm-hmm. years, mm-hmm. 28 years, and they can't even smell a PO or a chief.
Yeah.
And so what Commodore King did is, you know, I think he made a good correction.
Yeah, no, I lick him up Monday, you know. I kill him
for
Monday. Because they had big party on the base Sunday. You ain't ever this?
No, my guy was.
Big church service, everybody there, the governor general there,
the prime minister. No,
but put on their medals. I had to kill them for that, right? but everybody knows. Everybody knows that the commander of Defense Force, Raymond King, enjoys my full support.
Yeah. Just,
whatever happens Sunday, I chalk that up as a lapse in judgment, right? But he I believe he is going in the right direction with the force.
Yeah.
There was one other person I failed to mention. I see somebody here saying that I had Chief Sanders in my pocket. Not so. It was the furthest thing.
Oh, I gotta mention my boy, my Paul, man. You know, my Paul wasn't easy.
Indeed. But Andrew Johnson, another mentor.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And the one thing I learned about Andrew, and what Andrew didn't know was that he armed me to be slack if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. Andrew said, listen, I hear your argument. That's a good argument. That ain't gonna stand up in the chat. He said, go, Marine, go to the ACK. Find out what the ACK say. And as long as you doing that, nobody else could say nothing to you.
Yeah.
And I learned the ACKs of the Royal Bombers Defense Force almost page by page. All because of Andrew Johnson. And that was because I needed to find out where the wiggle room was. So that's also one of my mentors during my time in the force. So what are you guys up to these days? You've come out, you know, you told people how you was a big Sea Dogs, all kind of big time arrests. Well, tell me about maybe the biggest arrest that you've had in the 13 years on Yellow Law.
Well, I wouldn't go with the 13 years Yellow Law. I would go with the 20 years in squadron. And...
sailing on everything except for the HMS.
Everything.
You got to get your title right. No problem.
Right? So, but I couldn't go with the biggest because there's been many.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've done many, many, many arrests while I was in squadron. And that would have been from the drugs to poaching.
The one I remember being on with you was the Dominicans in Ragged Island. When SCO... I'm Brister. Colin Battle apparently arrested this Dominican boat with must be 100 of them on board. He said, Oh Jesus, y'all gotta go save Colin. Y'all gotta go save Colin. They said, Well, sir, we trying to fuel up. No, just go.
I ran out of fuel.
We got there. I met Phil Durham that day too. We got there and the tide was so low they had to send the 122, I think it was, in to go get the Dominicans off of the key, and it was one bunch of crazy stuff.
One, let me say this, because you mentioned it earlier about when the prison officer being on, losing his head, talk about, none of the armed forces could do what they do.
No guns,
right?
Just guns.
I don't know what he mean by that. I really don't care, but like you said, when you showed a clip on Facebook about that rough seas, they ain't leaving their family for that.
Yeah, guns
they ain't leaving their family.
Yeah.
They ain't leaving their wife and their children for being out there bouncing up and down on that sea for days and that rough weather.
Yeah.
and can't come home.
No, can't.
But when I have to
And if you got the wrong CO, you ain't nowhere in cell phone range either.
But Adriano.
Uh-huh.
I did a stint on Adriano.
Okay, that's the one of the newer boats.
Yeah.
Right.
If I did a stint on that, I was the bosun on that party rule with the coxswain.
Mm-hmm.
And Chappelle Bims initially was the CO, Burnwright was the XO, and then Burnwright ended up taking it off and Chappelle went on higher. But we had a good crew there that was solid.
Yeah.
And then I must give a shout out to my girl Seaford, number one on BDF of all times,
mm-hmm.
right? Undisputed. And
Miss Logistics.
And then the job changed me to Casarilla,
mm-hmm.
right? When the other boat mm-hmm. came in. Mm-hmm. And so I finished my career right there on Casarilla. Okay.
And you left as a petty officer?
Yes.
You left?
As the lean seaman.
Okay. I thought they promote you the day you was leaving, like how they do me.
Well, I can tell you, I really could have used it.
I'm told, right? They say, Miller able hand the leading man. They said, no, Scotch that old, he gone. Okay, so what do you guys up to these days? I mean, tell me.
But just to add something to what Robert just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
About people believing that their job is always the ultimate and they're mm-hmm. working harder than the other, mm-hmm. right? See, all of them have unions, defense force don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the association prohibits it.
And so if they want to put pressure on the minister, and I did this when I did my little speech for the
symposium?
Not the symposium. We have the leadership.
Okay.
When I did the leadership, this is one of my speech.
Power, come on. Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you know, okay, they pay, they the new work week is 40 hours,
mm-hmm.
according to labor law.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do this.
Right? And so, think about this.
I do 40 hours with being...
That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
And so, I remember the argument comes in, who work harder? Yeah. Okay, because you will go to sea for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 240 hours for 10 days.
And the man come back and okay. tell you, good gentleman, good job. Go home, get freshen up.
But we may need you to be only get 3 days off.
If you get
and
the treat.
And so, like I'm saying, who being abused more?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, we don't get to sing about it. We almost out of time, though. So yeah. tell me what you're up to these days. What have you gotten up to these days?
Well, it's a small window of opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Now, who built the window?
You? But the window was there.
Okay.
Right? The window was there. I contributed to the window.
Okay.
Right? But when I would have leave, I went.
I heard rumors you're going back. You're going back, that's true.
Huh?
I heard rumors you're going back.
But I can tell you this. I would have.
Yeah.
If I needed to.
Yeah.
And if that window wasn't quite open when I went there,
yeah.
I was running back in my jeans and hopping the fence.
And tell the man, yeah, please
although the gate was open, I'll be sure to get hopping the fence.
Right.
But it's a good organization. I wouldn't have mind going back, even as a reservist.
Yeah.
But I think now, what I'm doing now lifts me much higher than that.
Sure.
And so time-wise, I wouldn't be able to.
Sure. What about you, Marco?
Yeah, I'm at Agriculture and Marine Resources now. So
okay.
I've been there for the last 3-4 years.
All right.
So that's what I'm doing.
You getting any sea time in over there?
No, there ain't no sea time happening over there.
All right. Well, I mean, so that is it's still in the public sector.
Yes.
All right. And you going full time in construction.
Full time in construction.
And you did some work down in Bimini.
Abaco.
Okay.
Yeah, down in Abaco.
All right. You ain't one of them people that gang at the people that most finish in Abaco.
No, but I've been finished. But I waiting for them to pay me.
No.
I did the work for for the government, the housing.
Mm-hmm. Disaster repair.
No, Bahamas Mortgage.
Okay.
Corporation, yeah. I just completed a house for them. And
okay.
Still waiting on payment.
Okay.
And so...
Please pay Marvin Brown.
Yeah, it ain't never me.
Okay.
It's always them.
It's always them.
It's always them, yeah.
All right. So what are you doing over at Fisheries?
And their law enforcement unit. Right. Okay. Basically, you know, the same thing.
So you're going over there to carry law and order?
Yes, I trying to.
There'll be no getting away. Anyway, closing remarks, gentlemen, because we out of time.
Yeah, just like say, you know, thanks again, Miller. And, you know, the Defense Force will be around even when me, you go, Dr. King goes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the music, Marco. Yes, that made my time.
So that's time. So I just want to thank you again for giving me the opportunity to be here.
The greatest spinner in the history of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. Marlon Brown.
And guess what? The next show is going to be on Coral Harbor Base.
Oh, yeah?
The next one.
I believe it could be sponsored by Marvin Brown. Well, my producer right there, you see him? Let's get him together. Anyway, that's my time. You know the voice. It's Levan Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. I was unleashed on your radio. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got the news. It's next.
Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends.